Chapter 5 "Tell me about weddings," Claire asked as she and Elise carried the nut cake they had made to the feast table, where it would be placed with the festive puddings and sweets. "Does everyone have one? Did you?" Elise laughed.
"Not me," she said. "But most do when they reach an age as Martin and Glennis. When they choose each other and the parents say aye, then we have the hand fasting. Always in summer. Usually at new moon."
Summer, Claire had learned already from Elise, that summer is a time of year, the time of sunshine and crops and the birth of young animals. It had been one more thing she had not known. She waited while Elise rearranged some of the other foods in order to make room. Then she set down their cake and together they decorated its edge with yellow daisies. The village people were gathering. Not one, not even the fishermen, was at work today. Babies perched atop their father's shoulders. Claire saw tall Andrus with his parents, the three of them scrubbed and dressed in their best clothing. She could see that his mother was not well. She leaned on her son and was flushed with fever, though she smiled and greeted the others. Bryn waved to Claire. She was holding Bethan's hand. For once, the three little girls were separate, each with their families. Claire could see that beneath her lace-trimmed apron, Bryn's body had thickened with the coming child. Elise thought the time of danger was past and that this one would survive.
"Oh, what's that?" Claire asked, startled at a sound.
From the path, several young village men approached and the crowd opened to make way for them. One was blowing into a carved flute. Another kept time on a small drum made from an animal skin stretched across a hollowed gourd. The third plucked at strings stretched across a long-necked instrument made of wood. Moving in time with the melody, they entered the circle that had opened to admit them as Claire watched from where she and Elise stood at the edge.
"It's so lovely. Listen, how they make the sounds go together. I've never heard anything like that before."
Elise frowned.
"It's music, child. Have you never heard music? Have you forgotten it?"
"No, never," Claire whispered. "I'm quite sure."
The hand-fasting ceremony ended as Martin and Glennis kissed each other, and the red ribbon that had been wound around them unfurled, loosened, and freed them. The musicians began again with a louder, rollicking tune, and the villagers cheered and turned to the waiting feast. Claire stood silent, awed by the music, puzzled by the concept of love, and moved by both the solemnity and the celebration of the occasion. When she turned to look through the noisy, laughing throng for Elise, she suddenly noticed lame Einar, standing alone on a small rise at the edge of the meadow. While she watched, he adjusted the two sticks that supported him, turned, and hobbled slowly away. For a moment, she thought of running over to invite him back, to entice him to join in. But her attention was drawn by the music. Never had she heard such an enticing thing as music, she was sure of it. And now the villagers were choosing partners, forming lines, and moving in time to the cheerful melody. Surely Einar would enjoy watching, even if he couldn't do the quick hopping steps that they all seemed to know. They could watch together. But when she looked back for him, it was too late. He had disappeared into the woods. Back to daily tasks after the excitement and holiday of the hand fasting, tall Andrus knelt in the field and meticulously tied together the thick branches that would form the body of the mommet. Then, after he had decided on a spot, in the center of the young sprouting crops, he pushed the main branch into the earth and patted the dirt firmly around its base so that it stood upright without tilting. He dressed it, carefully fitting the wide sleeves of a ragged coat over the two stick arms. He tied a sash around the middle to hold the coat closed, but loosely, so that the breeze would lift and sway the fabric. He stood back and watched with satisfaction as the cloth moved. The ends of the arm branches extending from the sleeves looked like beckoning skeletal hands. Claire, approaching on her way to the stream, watched with a smile. She understood what he was doing, though she had never seen a mommet before. She stopped,
watched, then called to Andrus,
"Do you have a ribbon? If you added a long ribbon, it would wave in the wind."
He shook his head.
"I'll bring you one if you like,"
she suggested, coming closer. He stood back and looked at his creation.
"A ribbon would be good," he acknowledged, "around the neck."
Claire laughed.
"The neck?" she asked.
There was only the gnarled branch end protruding upward from the patched coat. Andrus laughed as well.
"I'll make the head now," he told her, and showed her the large gourd waiting on the ground.
He knelt beside it with his knife, carved a hole at one end. He dug out several inches of the pulpy flesh within, then placed the gourd atop the neck, fitting it down so that it sat firm. Claire could see that it looked indeed like a head, and that from a distance the entire Mommet would seem a frightening, flapping creature. The crows would surely avoid it, and the crops would be protected. He lifted the yellow gourd off the neck and set it on the ground again.
"It needs a face," he told her.
She sat on the soft earth and watched him begin to carve. First he gouged two circles near each other in the center of the gourd, then scraped at the rind between and below the eyes to create the impression of a nose. Impulsively, Claire tore some handfuls of grass from the earth and handed them to him.
"Hair," she said.
He laughed and draped the hair over the gourd. It slid away, and he looked around.
"Wait," he told her. "I can make it stay."
He left her with the gourd lying on the ground and went over to the edge of the woods. As she watched, he found the pine tree he had in mind and pulled a length of one supple branch loose.
"Oh, aye," he murmured. "This is good."
He brought it back to where she was sitting and showed her the wetness from the torn end where the bark glistened. He held it for her to sniff the woodsy pine scent.
"Elise makes a pillow filled with the needles," she told him.
He nodded. He was smearing the oozing resin on the gourd.
"Aye, it soothes the sleep," he said. "Look now."
He picked up the torn grass and pasted it on the gourd's head, where it settled in tufty clumps, held tight by the sticky sap. They both laughed as he held it up.
"Some Mommet," Andrus said with pride. "Needs a mouth," Claire reminded him.
She pictured a grin on the odd creature.
"Aye, it does."
He bent over it, carving meticulously. She watched as he worked. Now and then he drew back, examined his own efforts, and then leaned forward to correct the shape, to trim the curves. She saw him smooth the mouth edges with his finger. He flicked away some tiny shreds of gourd.
"May I see?" she asked him.
"Wait."
He moved his blade to the expanse of yellow rind above the gouged eyes, and she could see him make three deep rippled cuts across the broad forehead. He looked at it and laughed in delight.
"There," he said.
He stood holding it and placed it carefully over the wooden neck, easing it down into place.
"There," he said again proudly, and turned with a grin to see her reaction.
Claire stared. The grotesque face stared back at her. Its forehead was wrinkled by the wide cuts, which made it look puzzled, and the eyes squinted above the twisted nose. The mouth was a tortured smile, a leer. She caught her breath and felt her heart pound. Andrus was laughing. She turned to him, horrified, not knowing why, and cheerfully he twisted his own face into a mimicry of the Mommet. He thrust his tongue into his cheek, wrinkled his nose, and creased his forehead. He made a chortling sound. The skewed face, the laughter with it, made something flood into Claire's memory, surging upward in her like a wave about to break. She had made that face once and thought it funny. Someone had made it back to her. But why? Who? She pulled herself upward from the place where she had been sitting in the grass so cheerfully a moment before. She felt sick suddenly and began to cry.
"I'm sorry," she gasped. I'm sorry.
Then she turned and ran, sobbing and breathless, down the hillside, as tall Andrus stood uncomprehending beside the wretched, ragged stick figure with its bulbous head. High above him, two crows wheeled in the sky and cried out. Elise had been busy sorting and separating her dried plants when Claire burst through the door, her face wet with tears, and threw herself onto the bed.
It was clear that this was not a thwarted romance or a quarrel with a friend, the usual cause for the weeping of young girls. This was raw and deep. The old woman poured steaming water from the kettle over a few pinches of blue vervain and chamomile, then put the mug of herbal tea into Claire's hands. She watched with concern as the girl sat huddled and shaking in the dim light of the hut.
"Some things come back, then," Elise said. "Something cruel."
Claire nodded. She took a few shuddering breaths and sipped the soothing drink.
"It helps to say it," Elise suggested.
Claire looked up at her.
"I can't," she said. "It was so close. It was there, so close. And I can feel it still, but I can't grasp what it is."
"What brung it? Where be you when it comes so close?"
"Over on the hillside with Andrus. I was helping him build a stick figure to frighten the crows away."
"A marmot?"
"Yes, that's what he called it."
"Tall Andrus is a good lad. Surely it was nothing he done."
Claire hesitated.
"I don't think so. I can't remember exactly. We were laughing and then, well, everything changed. I can't think why."
"Something brung it. Want I should ask Andrus?"
Claire closed her hands around the mug and breathed the tea's steam.
"I don't know," she whispered after a moment. "I feel so sad."
Elise watched her and knew that the herbs in the mug would soothe the panic that had afflicted her, that soon she would calm and likely sleep for a bit. But they would not heal her. It would be hard to heal a girl as desperately wounded as this one.